Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Deal with the best. Best in sales, best in giving you the best deal, best in service. And best in repeat customers. You get repeat customers because you're really that good. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Also best in product. And a wide variety of product. And the Sunbury Motors studio is mobile today in Lincoln, Nebraska. I'm here in the hotel. I was asked earlier today what I could see. I said Colorado. All right, time now for our play-by-play call of the day. I saw this guy in person in March, Marcus Howard. He put on quite a show last night.
Marcus Howard uses the high screen. No, he fakes it. Step back three. Marcus Howard. Good again. It's
not possible
if it was anybody but Marcus Howard.
Steve the True. Always love him. He's a great guy. I like him a lot. The guy does Marquette. True's an awesome dude. And that's the call last night on the Marquette Radio Network. Penn State basketball time. We have wrestling tonight. And then tomorrow night, the Chief will be doing the basketball game tomorrow, correct?
That is correct. It's actually going to be Seawins Grove Shikellamy tomorrow night.
Yeah, great.
Mm-hmm.
Who's doing the game with him?
That'd be Kevin.
Sure. I'm sure Dave will do it. I'm sure Dave will be fine. we hope Dave's feeling better, a lot better, too. So believe me.
He's been sounding good, too.
Yeah, that's great.
Yep.
Okay, that's tomorrow. Tonight, Steve Williams has wrestling, and then it's basketball, Penn State, and Nebraska here in Lincoln. All right, Jared Parker is the new wide receivers coach for Penn State, leaving the Duke staff where he was the wide receivers coach to coming here. He had previously been the wideout coach at Purdue, also when Purdue was running into a mess with Daryl Hazel. He was the interim head coach and coached against Penn State as the interim head coach in 2016. He's now on the Penn State staff and has been officially hired today to fill out James Franklin's staff. Also has extensive experience as a recruiting coordinator. All right, let's get into this topic. I'll get into the topic of paying players in a moment. Nicole Auerbach wrote another article today on the college football playoff. And one thing that she said that when they came out of their meeting, when they were in the San Jose area, that there's going to be a lot put on the table about the process. Could they expand? Maybe. But look, if you think there's any expansion that's imminent, no, it's not imminent. But they're going to put everything on the table, and then we'll see how it plays out. There are several things that are bothering people with the college football playoff. And there are two in particular. Number one, what is the value of a conference champion? Right, that's one. The other one is, how much credit or the lack thereof does a school receive for playing a challenging schedule, which I've talked about many times. I feel that they have gone against their original mandate because they've done things, quote, the easy way. The easy way is the way that, you know, 2016, who's better, Penn State or Washington? I can tell you right now, watching the two teams, Penn State 2016 was better. Simple as that. Which then a year later, even though the teams were slightly different, Penn State, I mean, really, were they threatened in that game against Washington? Oh, no. In the Fiesta Bowl. But they were the better team that played the tougher schedule. I mean, the toughest non-conference game Washington had was Rutgers. And that sent a message to everybody. Now you're seeing everybody down scale their non-conference schedule because the College Football Committee has sent that message. I mean, who's Alabama played in its non-conference schedule this year? Louisville, Arkansas State, University of Louisiana, the Citadel. Really? That's good for the game? Well, the College Football Playoff Committee said it's no big deal. At least that's the signal they sent. Okay. So that's part of the friction that they're going through right now between those who are looking at expansion and those who are not. And now they've got to sit down and maybe null some of this out. Now, you don't have a lot of commissioners right now on the record saying that they're pro-expansion. The only two are Mike Oresko of the American and Craig Thompson, who's the commissioner of the Mountain West. They're the only two that are on record as saying that. But you've got plenty behind the scenes saying they want to discuss what's going on with this. Greg Sankey of the SEC is on the record saying he wants to preserve the status quo. Wouldn't you, if you're Greg Sankey? I mean, come on, it's the avenue to riches for his conference, for goodness sakes. But he's on record for that. So that's where we are with that. Now let's get to the article that Nancy Armour wrote in USA Today. And it's typical. It's not atypical. You're getting more and more articles like this about should players, student athletes, be paid. Trevor Lawrence is a true freshman. He is not eligible for the NFL draft until 2021. All right. He's a true freshman. Under the collective bargaining agreement between the NFL and the Players Association, the door is not open until after you've completed your third year out of high school. So a redshirt sophomore or true junior can go to the NFL draft. True junior, like Saquon Barkley, for example. All right. And look, believe me, there's parts of that rule. I'll tell you one part of the rule that makes more sense than anything else. You do need a physical maturity, and I think a mental maturity as well, to play in the NFL. Bigger, faster, stronger. You are out there. These are men. All right. So that part of the rule does make a lot of sense. Now let's get to the college part of it. I'm very much in favor of looking into developing trust funds for student athletes that might open the door for them to then get money, and then when their college careers are over, then they can go to that trust fund and it's theirs. I very much like the idea of exploring that. Exploring it would mean their image. Exploring that would be advertising opportunities, autograph shows, things like that. Would it be put into a trust fund, and then when it's over, the money's available to them. Now, it does bring with it unintended consequences. All right? Let's go over to Suit Motors. Might as well go with somebody that, you know, universally loved by people and has his own car dealership, right?
Shoot for the stars, yes.
Yeah, exactly right. All right. Suit Motors happens to be so into his school that he's a big donor. All right? And to get said player, we want you to do our advertising for us. And not only that, we're going to give you $1 million to do it. Because, I mean, you know, let's face it. I mean, you've seen the suit selling ability. Okay, well, that'll be another topic another day. We'll talk to Roger and Jamie about that later.
Must have been doing some shows that day. I actually have not seen him in action.
And I know neither of other people. All right.
Better left unseen.
No, really, when he says there's nothing to see here, he actually means it. But what is to keep them as an unintended consequence of overpaying beyond what is actually market value and in order to influence somebody to come there? Okay, so that's an unintended consequence, all right? Right. So, I mean, let's at least lay that out on the table. That's a distinct possibility. Let's start with, so you can start with the possibility that you can advertise for it. And your image can be used, you know, whether as a spokesperson or in newspaper ads, voice for radio ads, whatever it may be. I'm XXX for blah, blah, blah. Okay. Should they be allowed to do that? Yeah, I think. Should they be allowed to do autograph shows? Yeah. Why not? Should they be allowed to have their jersey sold and get proceeds from that? Now, if you notice, in recent years, in order to avoid that, I mean, they're only selling one numbers one and a retired jersey, like Northwestern. I think Northwestern was the first one to do it. They sell a one, and they could sell a 51, which is Pat Fitzgerald's retired jersey. Now, at Penn State, for example, you know, I mean, if they wanted to sell 22, they could because it's retired. All right? And it's not being worn by anybody any longer. All right? So that's how they've gotten around it. But let's be honest about it. It also has taken the fun away for the fan. I mean, how many fans out there would love to have bought a Nike 26 jersey in 15, 16, and 17? Right? I mean, I think a lot of people would have. But they've been unable to because they're trying to get around, you know, and it's typical everywhere, trying to get around, well, wait a minute, I'm not, you know, can't give money to the player. You can't give them an incentive that, hey, they're making all this money off my jersey. The old Chris Webber thing with Mitch Albom. I never forget that one. Oh, we walked by the store and I saw a four there, and he says, yeah, he says, all these people are profiting off my jersey, blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, he was getting all this money on the side anyway. It's like, okay. You know, that part really wasn't that clear. But should they? Sure. At least to me, this all should be explored. Because here's the alternative. The alternative is going to be that you give players... Now, you already have stipends, okay? Cost of attendance. And well, now you turn that into a salary. There's only so much money to go around. So which sports now do you want to drop? Because you can't sustain all the sports that you have across the board. I don't care whether it's Clemson with their... Was Clemson have 19, Alabama's 21, Texas has what, 19? Penn State is 31. I think Ohio State is 34, 35. But you can't sustain those sports because they can't sustain themselves. Men's basketball certainly can sustain itself. There's no question about that. And then help out others. Football, obviously, is the big one. But nobody else can. I mean, the women's volleyball program can't sustain itself. Wrestling can't sustain itself. So I understand the passion behind it, but I always laugh when I hear wrestling fans tell me, "Look, we'll pay a lot more money for tickets, you know, and we'll make it profitable." You can pay a lot more money for tickets. I can tell you right now, you have no chance of making it profitable. It's just not there. Okay, this is from the Common Sense Ward. Okay, all right. I understand your passion, okay? But others can sit by on the sideline with some common sense and go, "No, you. I understand your passion. I understand where you're coming from. You are never going to be a profitable sport. Just the way it is. Okay? It's too big a deficit to make up. So they can't sustain themselves. Well, if you're not you have to start paying student athletes, How many sports are going to be dropped? Even though Penn State may not drop wrestling, who might? Penn State's not going to drop wrestling, but how many other schools might? Are you going to be down to 30 or 35? They're going to keep the sport? Because they're going to make decisions saying, look, where can I cut money? Because now I've got to start paying student athletes. That's why the trust fund idea then takes it off the plate of the athletic department and puts it on the plate of capitalistic business. Now, there's another part, too, that nobody ever talks about and who's affected by this. We'll do that in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, Tate Martell, quarterback at Ohio State, putting his name into the transfer database. Josh Gattis, according to Bruce Feldman, leaving Alabama to become the offensive coordinator at Michigan. Jared Parker becomes the new wide receiver coach at Penn State, leaving Duke, where he's the wide receiver coach. Previously had been at Purdue. All right, who would be affected by this if, and again, this is, you got to remember that, you know, I think it's very important that there are unintended consequences. Okay, a lot of money could be changing hands. I mean, that's the, so this is not a perfect solution by any sense of the imagination. But here's the other part that's talked about. You always hear, oh, how much does Kyler Murray mean to Oklahoma? Okay. How much does Trevor Lawrence mean to Clemson? How much does Zion Williamson mean to Duke? How much did Saquon Barkley mean to Penn State? That's always the simple, easy argument that draws the headline in the paper, right? But it's not laced with any semblance of common sense at all. It doesn't look at the big picture. You have to ask yourself that this solution, right, we have to pay all the players because Trevor Lawrence means so much. Well, he's one of 125 guys on the Clemson roster. Okay, this comes with it, Title IX. Title IX comes into play, unintended consequence. All right? That's why you're saying how many sports would be dropped. All right. In reality, let's start with Duke. With Zion Williamson, Barrett, maybe a couple of other Duke basketball players, Daniel Jones, the quarterback. Those are probably the only guys, I just named five, that would be guys that probably would have opportunities like I just discussed. Five. At Penn State, okay, you'd probably get a volleyball player, probably three or four wrestlers, a basketball player, and obviously, I don't know, a handful of football players? So what did I name? A dozen people? That might be, out of 800 student-athletes, a dozen to 15 student-athletes would probably be able to profit from their likeness at the university. The other 785, probably not. It would not be widespread. I mean, so let's really top it out. The number might be as high as 20 out of 800. It's not as extensive as people think. But for the upper echelon recruit, for the upper echelon player, the door would be open, and a door would be open, obviously, to some high-end booster to then say, hey, you know, and start doling out cash. That is the unintended consequence. The other unintended consequence would be, you know, you're going to get a fight from Title IX. I just talked about wrestlers. I just talked about, right? It would be available to everybody. But if you then paid, let's say, through the athletic department, student athletes. All right, athletic departments have to pay them. Cost of attendance is for everybody. And if you say, well, football and men's basketball players, they make money. Okay, great. Notice those are 98 scholarship athletes, correct? Okay. Title IX says you got to find 98 female student athletes. And then you start getting into that circle of, okay, how can we afford this And then you start getting into that cycle that some businesses run into. We don't have enough to carry everybody at the company, and suddenly we're going to lay off 37 people. Well, that would happen in college sports. I think you'd see some sports get eliminated if that happened. I mean, unintended consequence. But it's always the stars that they talk about. So these proposals would affect no more than a dozen to 20 people on a campus. I mean, max. Max.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Deal with the best. Best at getting you the best deal, best in product, the wide variety of product, best in service, best when it comes to repeat customers. You get repeat customers because you're really good. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf. All right, so we've been talking about, the stars are the ones that always are the names that come up. But an athletic department is more than just stars. There's 800 student athletes at Penn State. How many would be affected by having trust funds that would be set aside when it's all said and done, and then they can collect? 12 to 20? I mean, let's be realistic here. There'll be some football players, maybe a volleyball player, maybe a hockey player or two, a basketball player, and at Penn State, some wrestlers. That would benefit. That would have enough name recognition where it would make a difference, where their image would be important. Because you have to have some name recognition. You can't do this without any name recognition. My goodness. You can't. Now, the unintended consequence would be said industry massively overpays to keep said student-athlete happy. Unintended consequence. How do you deal with that? I have no answer for that. No answer. But you have to bring up the fact that it's a possibility and it's an unintended consequence. And again, the argument's always simple. Oh, look at Trevor Lawrence. Look at, Trevor Lawrence isn't the only member of the Clemson football team. These athletes should be paid. There's 125 guys on that team. Some are walk-ons, some are scout teams, some are backup players. I mean, is your proposal to pay all of them? You pay all of them, for goodness sakes, because, I mean, it's the Clemson football team. Not just the I notice on the side there's a paw print on the helmet, not Trevor Lawrence's picture. So, do you pay all of them? How do you do this? I always read these things, and they never tell you how they're going to do it. And they never tell you about the unintended consequences, and they never give a darn about the other sports. It's always about football and basketball. You're going to go to the Final Four. Again, this is all running in the pack mentality. They all just covered the college football playoff. So now they see Trevor Lawrence. They see Tua Tagovailoa and the others, and they're saying, oh, you know, look what they're doing to draw people into college football and so forth, and look at it, all, you know, 100,000-seat stadium at Bryant-Denny Stadium, 80,000-plus at Clemson all the time, the TV contracts, and on and on and on it goes. And it's always focused on the stars. But there's more to it than just the star players. So if you propose to pay all college football players and all college basketball players, because the next articles you'll get will be, you go to the Final Four and say Duke's there, Kentucky's there, whatever. Oh, boy, look at what Zion Williamson does. He brings all in this money, and he's, you know, no wonder he's got to go to the NBA because, you know, he's a poor student athlete playing blah, 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 you know. And you've read these articles over and over and over again. Because, again, that's where they're running with in the pack mentality. But there are 13 scholarship basketball players, you know, 12 to 13 on every team. Okay, so you pay all of them. So there's 85 scholarship student athletes for football. You pay all of them. That's 98. All right. Well, the first thing you're going to get is a Title IX suit. And guess what? The money is going to have to be equal. It's just the way it is. Even though it's not realistic, and it is not realistic. Right? I mean, women's basketball, you know, let's just take women's basketball, for example. It doesn't draw anywhere near what men's basketball does. At most schools, UConn obviously sells out. Baylor draws really well. It's really popular. Either Louisville's really popular, but Louisville men's basketball outdraws the women's team. It's just the way it is. And the tickets are more expensive, too. And the TV contracts revolve around the men's team. And the radio contracts, which include the extensive radio network, revolve around the men's team. So in terms of the economics of it, but Title IX says economics doesn't matter. Opportunity must be equal between the two. So it has to be taken into account. As a business model, it doesn't work, but the law says, and it would be challenged, and guess what? If it were to be challenged in court, Title IX would win. It's just the way it is. So let's be realistic here. Let's be realistic. So now you got to pay 98 female student-athletes. Okay. Well, where's the money coming from? And how do you balance your budget? You balance the budget the way some businesses balance their budgets. Sometimes they balance it by releasing people. In this case, it would be eliminating sports. And even though you know that your sport, oh, they would never touch my sport at my university. Okay? Now, we know there are a lot of wrestling fans here. Tons of wrestling fans in the state. Love the sport, justifiably. They've been given the hand of the best program in the country. But just because Penn State wouldn't drop it, that doesn't mean 40 others wouldn't. It's just, I'm just giving you the facts of life here. Doesn't mean that 40 others wouldn't drop baseball, or 40 others wouldn't drop, you know, there'd be a series of where suddenly schools would be like, what do we do here? And you may say, well, it's survival of the fittest. Okay, but that's not the way college sports works. College sports rarely has been the survival of the fittest. They've been trying to, you know, to be as broad-based as possible. But that's why, again, another unintended consequence. How do you do this? And even the trust fund idea has unintended consequences. Josh Gattis, it looks like, is going to be the offensive coordinator at Michigan, according to Bruce Feldman. And I don't know what they're going to do and what changes they're making on their staff. Because remember, Pep Hamilton's been there. I don't know what changes they're making to their staff at Michigan. because the two people that left to go to Ohio State were both on the defensive side of the ball. And Jared Parker is the new wide receiver coach at Penn State. Formerly at Purdue, formerly at Cincinnati, and most recently, the last 2 years, coaching wide receivers at Duke. And I watched Duke's bowl game, and I was impressed by Duke's passing game. And Daniel Jones is a big reason for that. Obviously, he's a terrific quarterback. He really is a terrific quarterback. Don't forget, we have wrestling coming up tonight. Shikellamy Wrestling with Steve Williams, who always, he does a great job, doesn't he? Then tomorrow, Shikellamy Sealands Grove will be basketball, and that will be Kevin and the Chief tomorrow. We will take a break. We'll wrap it up from Lincoln in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Jared Parker is the new wide receiver coach at Penn State. Had been the interim head coach at Purdue when they were going through the Daryl Hazel mess at the end, and he was the head coach against Penn State in a game they won 62-24. But you know what? If you looked at Purdue's offense and their wideouts, he did a heck of a job with them. Duke, same story. He did a heck of a job with the Duke wide receivers in their passing game. It looks like he's going to get the job at Michigan with their passing game. So he's going to get that job at Penn State. That rounds out the staff. Josh Gattis is going to join Michigan staff. Remember, they do have one opening on the offensive side. Remember, Jim McElwain took the Central Michigan head coaching job. So he left after just 1 year. So Pep Hamilton, who's been the, quote, pass game coordinator, is still there. And they named Gattis co-offensive coordinator. And I have no idea what that means. None. Now, let's get to this story. Let's get to your guy, Antonio Brown. Steelers owner, Art Rooney Jr., Art Rooney II, says Antonio Brown won't be released, but all options are on the table. Rooney said in a Pittsburgh Post-Gazette interview that it would be, quote, hard to envision Brown as part of the team as it reports the training camp in July. There's not much we can do right now. We have time to make a decision, Rooney told the outlet. We will look at all the options. We're not going to release him. That's not on the table. But I will say all the other options are on the table. Whether the situation can be reconciled and have him back in the team next year, we're a long way from thinking that can happen. We're not closing the door on anything at this point, though. Now, a trade cannot be put together by the start of the new league year, March 13th, and perhaps, for Brown more importantly, he is due a $2.5 million roster bonus on March 17th. So St. Patrick's Day is a big day when it comes to how the Steelers need to deal with Antonio Brown, because if he's on the roster on March 17th, they have to pay him a $2.5 million bonus.
Yeah, for Art Rooney to say hard to envision, that's very rare that he uses words like that in any type of interview, whether it's electronic media or newspaper. But, yeah, that's a bold statement today from Art.
And he says, look, they're not going to be boxed into anything because of the salary cap. They have not talked to Brown. Bud Dupree said, quote, the Steelers have family issues. It sounds like our conference room in the morning.
Maybe once a week, yes. I don't think anyone on the Steelers, upper management or team, I don't think anyone's talked to AB since December 30th. I know Ben has reached out a few times, you know, phone calls or texts, but has not heard back from AB.
Dupree said, he said, we don't really know what's going on. We just know that Brown and Roethlisberger are heated at each other. He said, it's not Mike Tomlin. He says, it's two grown men, two free players butting heads. He said, we have to learn how to be together as a team, and we have to put it in the open and stop hiding. I don't know. I don't really know what. I honestly don't know what makes Antonio Brown tick. Do you?
It's an absolute shame.
I've never been around him, so I don't know.
It's just a shame. I mean, he was so popular with the, with the Steelers fan base. That the second after he got drafted, I know there was 1 year during training camp where he would receive his fan mail, and he would. If it was like an autograph, and send them back. I mean, I remember ESPN did a big feature on that. That may have been his second or third year with the team,
right?
Which feels like 20 years ago. But I think what I remember what Neil Coulong said in his conversation between the two of you earlier. It was either this week or last week. When Richard Mann retired as the Steelers wide receivers coach, just seems like a lot of things have happened since then.
Who's their wideout coach now?
Great question. I should know that, and I don't.
This is your team, man.
I know.
This is your team. These are your people.
Yeah.
Your people. Come on. I don't see how a position coach in the NFL causes any kind of friction with everything else. I don't see how that happens. I mean, because there's still a head coach. You can always go to a head coach. You can always go to a coordinator. Obviously a guy like Mike Munchak had great influence on the offensive line, and he leads that group. But if there's any issue, those guys are going to go to Tomlin about it, right? I mean, Tom Bradley runs the secondary. As I've told Tommy a couple times, you're in charge of Artie Burns.
Daryl Drake is the current wide receivers coach for the
Steelers. Oh, he's the problem.
He's been an assistant coach in the league for about a decade and a half. He was the wide receivers head coach at Arizona for 5 years before coming to Pittsburgh.
See, he's the problem.
I didn't say his problem, but
here's the... Antonio Brown's personal life, is obviously it puts a real financial strain on him. Is that fair to say?
I know he has multiple kids to different women. He's been in the news numerous times.
Yes.
He had that story last
spring. That costs money.
Yeah.
That costs money, though. Yeah. Yeah. That's my point. My point is, multiple children with multiple women cost money.
Yeah, he had that story from
incredible.
Yeah, he had that condo down in Florida where he allegedly was throwing furniture out the window. And
yeah, but he just wasn't happy with what he picked up over at Ashley, okay? All right. I don't want any IKEA stuff. I want to shop local.
I've only ever been in an IKEA one time, and oh my god, if it wouldn't have been for those arrows on the floor, I wouldn't know where to go.
Well, that's all right. I've never been in an IKEA. Never. But well, it doesn't mean I wouldn't, but I'm a little busy. the bottom line is he's got multiple issues that I think affect who he is and what he is, because you're talking about signing autographs early on. I bet he didn't have the same financial pressures he has now. Back then. Now he's got to be the top guy. He's got to get all the bonuses. Because I think he's got so much financial pressure on him that I think it's unbelievable. March 17th means a ton to him. Now, why does Martin? I mean, because that $2.5 million bonus probably helps him tremendously. But Art Rooney II saying that, you know what, I'm not so sure. I wouldn't put money on him. Essentially, I wouldn't put money on him being here next year. You're right. That's a bold statement for him. Bold.
Former Steeler Ryan Clark. He's been with ESPN for a couple of years, and he. He pretty much threw AB under the bus when he was on Late Night with SVP not too long ago. And he'd shared a story about AB and Dick LeBeau getting into a shouting match. And it's like, can you see Dick LeBeau getting into a shouting match with anybody? I sure can't. I'm like, come on.
But here's the other part, too. Why are you getting into a shouting match with somebody who's been a master at his craft? And I'm talking about Dick LeBeau. You know, a guy that's been around the block that has seen everything. You're going to get into a shouting match with a person like that?
It'd be different if it was your coach or your coordinator, if you maybe, you know, have a difference in opinion on certain plays and a drive or that kind of deal. But, I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, but why would you get into a shouting match with somebody who obviously has been a master of his craft? Doesn't mean they're right about everything, but, I mean, the level of respect. Wouldn't you go in with a level of respect for Dick LeBeau? Like, okay, you know, I'm not going to challenge that. He's, you know, his resume is a little bit deeper than mine. It's not like Dick LeBeau wasn't a heck of a player, too. I mean, as a defensive back, he was a heck of a player, especially with the Detroit Lions for many years. So he knows his way around the field. Not just as a coordinator, but around the field. I don't know.
And when your age matches your golf score, that's not too shabby either.
Exactly. No, that's big. You got to be for something's driving him in the wrong direction, and I don't know what it is. And you could tell they don't know what it is either. I mean, we had the same conversation in October about, you know, the suit, the way he's, you know, I mean, he drove out one color analyst, you know. I mean, I don't think he's been right since the 298.
The banner's still hanging to prove it.
Yeah, no, that's 7-10 split. Yeah.
Hurts.
I don't even know in the last three times I've gone out that I've had 298 total.
What was your series? 298. Oh, one game? No, all three games.
I think we'll order more from the bat. Back at State College tomorrow, Ross Tucker with us.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.